Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is a special impromptu edition of the CNC Football Factory. It's just me, Carlos, right now. Couple things weighing on my mind that I wanted to address. First and foremost, I did want to give a special mention to our good friend Rick James, who's been on the show before. Diehard Detroit Lions fan, Michigan man, Detroit Red Wings, you know it, all the Detroit teams, avid fantasy player. He passed away just a little bit earlier today, and we're all taking it pretty hard, so this is a shout out to you, Rick. And, of course, the dog. Dog is agreeing, too. So, one thing I've been seeing and going around, we're already debating in Jets land the fact that we need to bring in Geno Smith because Fitzpatrick had I wouldn't say outright terrible day, but not a good day. It wasn't a good day for the offense in general, playing against the Eagles. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw three interceptions, but granted, I will say this, two of those were not his fault. Two of them were not. And I don't care what argument you're making, if you're a Team Geno guy or a Team Fitzpatrick guy, get your head out of your ass, be a Team Jets guy, and at least look at it objectively. The fact of the matter is, two of those picks weren't his fault. If you want to sit here and say people weren't making excuses for Geno, that may be true, but I wasn't one of them. I definitely saw when he threw an interception that was his fault. I called him out on it. When he threw an interception, that was his receiver's fault, which wasn't as often. I also gave him a pass for those. You have to be fair on both sides. Just because you want Geno Smith to start doesn't give you the right to basically refuse to look at the facts. Just look at the box score and say there were three interceptions, regardless of what happened. If you watch that game, you know for sure two of those picks weren't on Fitzpatrick. Now, I will say what is on Fitzpatrick is his lack of arm strength. That's something that Geno Smith gives us. Geno Smith has a better arm. He could hit those deep passes like you might have seen him do if you were playing against the Eagles to Devin Smith. Ryan Fitzpatrick was short on those. Three different throws short on him. Only one came up as a pick. The other two had a chance to be intercepted as well, trying to go long. The bottom line is you can't pull him now, okay? He had one bad game. We won the first two. We all knew what Fitzpatrick was, and I'm the first one to say I was more of a Team Geno guy, but once he got his jaw broken and he was basically taken out for the first month, you got to stand behind your quarterback, and our quarterback right now, according to Todd Bowles, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not Geno Smith. Not yet. Let's see what he does against Miami. Let's see how this team responds. I think a bigger concern, even than the quarterback position, is the fact that Willie Colon is out, which, you know, anyone that listens to this show knows that's kind of surprising for me to say because I was not exactly a fan of Willie Colon, but what's behind him is even worse in Brian Winters. You saw the effects of that in the second half of the Eagles and Jets game. Make no mistakes about it. The Jets lost against the Eagles not because of their offensive game plan. It didn't help. But it was their piss-poor tackling, not being able to wrap up Darren Sproles, not being able to contain the run, getting smashed like all three of us on this show actually predicted on Saturday evening, Sunday morning, whenever you listen to our last show, if you listen to our last show. It was poor play on the defensive end. Special teams. That was the problem. It didn't help our offense. Didn't really step up either. We couldn't get a run game going. Bilal Powell looked perfectly average. We could get no push against the Eagles' defensive front. And the Eagles knew what was coming. Brandon Marshall had a monster game, except for that one lateral, which, oh my God, if you watch that play, you know, me and CJ were watching this, and you know the one thing I wouldn't think of? If I were a player and I'm going down and I see a free-running Jeff Cumberland, the last thing I'm thinking is, hey, let me pitch it to this guy. He's running right down the sidelines. He's going to score because Jeff Cumberland is about as fast as my grandmother. But, you know, Brandon Marshall owned up to it. the heck, you know, he said, my bad, dumb play. We all know it was a dumb play. But that didn't cost us the game. It didn't help. That was actually a killer because they came back and scored a touchdown after that. And we were down 24-0 before you know it. But I will give this team credit. They fought back. Look at some of the other teams out there that were getting demolished, waxed by halftime. The Miami Dolphins were getting waxed by the Bills, 24-0. They didn't put up much of a fight. Look at San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick's four pick sixes, two of them within the first 6 minutes. They didn't come back and put up much of a fight. Chicago, I think they just wanted to work out their punter more than anything else, but they didn't put up much of a fight. To the team's credit, they at least came back a little bit, made it somewhat competitive towards the end, gave us a chance to possibly get an onside kick, and maybe the ball bounces our way. Look, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season we'd be 2-1 after we faced the Browns, the Colts, and the Eagles, I'd have said, you know what, I'll take it. I'll take it. The Eagles are a better team than what their record showed, and their offensive line stepped up against us. I don't know how much of that was their offensive line or our lack of any kind of tackling, run-stopping prowess. You know, we kind of flipped the switch. We were horrible against the pass and good against the run last year. Now it's the opposite. I think some of that has to do with the fact that Sheldon Richardson's not in there, so let's not hit the panic button yet. As the esteemed hoodie would say, it's on to Miami, but it's really not on to Miami. It's on to London. And, yeah, I'm really excited for all of the Jets fans that are going to be, one, making the trip to London, or two, actually live in the UK and get a chance to see their team. Biff, Julian Carter, Rich Tinley, and all Jets Slim out there, all of our listeners over abroad, you guys go rock the house and let them know what green and white is all about, boys. We'll be cheering you on here. It's going to be really early in the morning, but I'll be watching. I'm looking forward to that, man. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to some morning football. How are you going to poo-poo on morning football? I'm sorry, I've seen too many people complaining about, hey, I got to wake up at 9 in the morning. Get off your flipping ass. Quit being lazy. It's football at 9 in the morning. It could be a hell of a lot worse, okay? Complaining about football too early. If your ass isn't waking up by 9 anyway, sorry, man, you're not much of a man. I'm just telling you. Complain about waking up at 9. Go get your chores done Saturday like you should be doing anyway, and shut the fuck up. So sick of fucking Jet fans that just piss and moan about everything. Oh, Frank Fitzpatrick, he's only 2-1. He doesn't give us a good chance to win. His arm isn't that great. Fuck you. Would you have taken 2-1 at the beginning of the season? Yes. Shut up. I'm sick and tired. Every time there's some kind of controversy, we make mountains out of molehills. It's embarrassing already. We have one of the top turnover margins of the league. That's not a bad thing. The offense is by design conservative because we have a good defense. The problem against the Eagles was the defense failed us. You can admit that, right? Our offense was never going to score 30 to 40 points a game. It never was. That's not how it's designed to be. I will take exception with Fitzpatrick on a couple things. If you look at the Colts game, some of those bombs to Brandon Marshall, and he's triple covered. Yeah, he did that a couple times against the Eagles too. That has to stop. But I haven't seen enough to sit here and say, oh, you definitely pull him at 2-1 with a chance to go 3-1 against a very shaky Miami who's not playing very well and also has to make the trip to London. Sorry, not enough for me to pull him. And I'm as Team Geno as they come. I think he has better talent. But you don't pull Fitzy now. You don't. Gosh, if the coach and the GM listened to you idiots, I think we'd be starting Bryce Petty. Ode Ibushi would be our starting left tackle. And Marcus Williams would be starting over Antonio Cromartie. Yeah, I think a lot of you just sit there and like to talk for the sake of talking. It's aggravating, honestly. It really is. Well, let's look at what's going on. Miami's definitely looking shaky right now. Ndamukong Suh has not been playing up to his contract, according to most people that are covering the team. I've seen a little bit of Dolphins games. I try not to watch them. As you would imagine, it's hard to avoid them here in Florida. Tannehill looked pretty shaky against the Bills, but, you know, give the Bills credit. They went into Miami and rocked them from the opening snap. That team was ready to go. And the Dolphins have all the talent in the world on the roster. They just, frankly, have... I think Joe Philbin, that's kind of the common denominator there. He's the problem. Tannehill is probably a little bit overbilled. They have some weapons. You have to watch out for Rashard Matthews, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, who they're incorporating more and more into their game plan. Jordan Cameron, who he may or may not be in. We'll talk a bit more about that as we preview the game on a different show later on down the road. Defensively, they're not stopping anybody on the run. And that's the one thing that you would think they would be doing with the Ndamukong Suh. But the problem is, and we talked about this in our preseason shows, they had to invest so much money in Suh, they had to let other players go. Cameron Wake's not looking quite like himself. They look kind of slow. Lamar Miller, also on offense, is shaken up, to say the least. You might be seeing a little Damian Williams, whatever you want to call him. Miami's offensive line is not up to snuff. As much as you want to worry about, oh, what is Brian Winters going to do against Ndamukong Suh, he's probably going to get help. That's what he's going to do. On Miami's offensive line, I think they need to worry about our pass rush, which, again, let's take it back to the Eagles. Did we have a pass rush? We didn't even come close to sniffing Sam Bradford. And he still threw like garbage. 112 yards, 12 for 24, something like that. I mean, he still looked like garbage. That offense didn't even beat us. It was special teams, missed tackling, piss poor play. But you move on from that. You move on from that game. You don't sit there and bury the football or bury the tape like Rex Ryan used to do in the past. You learn from it, you move on. We have a chance to go 3-1, stake a claim as a solid number two in our AFC East, which is looking like the toughest division in football. Let's say the AFC East followed by the NFC South, and then everything else is not even close if you look at it now. Or not NFC South, NFC West. My bad. The South is horrible. Outside of Atlanta and Carolina, that's horrible. No. I didn't mean the South. I meant the West. With the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Rams, I guess the 49ers. I mean, they did wax the Vikings. So that has to say something. The game plan for the Jets, there's a lot out there that's questionable right now, including Chris Ivory's quad. Eric Decker's likely not to play, which I think that had a big impact on the offensive game plan. It allowed the Philadelphia Eagles to kind of focus on Marshall. Inunua was in there, and he did okay. Devin Smith showed a couple nice pass catches, nice routes on the shorter ones. But again, Devin Smith is not going to be useful if you have Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing the ball, because he's like 3 for 20 going down over 20 yards or more. 3 for 20 on the year. That's what you got. So we knew this heading into the season. We knew that Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't have the arm. But here's the other thing I want to say, to be fair and evaluate the quarterback position. Yeah, I'm going back to this. There's no calls. There's no host here to bother me and tell me I need to switch what I'm talking about. So I'm babbling about whatever the heck it is I want to babble about. Geno Smith took sacks that Ryan Fitzpatrick is not taking. The line's pretty much the same. Ryan Fitzpatrick is getting the ball out a little bit quicker than what Geno Smith would likely do. Now, maybe the offseason he improves, you know, we don't know. But looking at what he did last year, he held on the ball too long, and that's why that offensive line looked as bad as it did against the pass. It certainly didn't help that he hung on to the ball too long, and he had questionable decision-making. You know, do I think that Geno is probably the better talent? Yes. Do I think Geno Smith gives the Jets the best chance to win at this point in time? No. Even though I think he's a better talent, for what this team's trying to do, win on defense, run the ball, which those two things, they swung and whiffed on miserably this past Sunday. But the winning strategy is play good defense, get to the quarterback, blitz the quarterback, great secondary, cover up the passing game, try and stop the run game. We used to be pretty good at that. I think that'll pick up as we get Sheldon Richardson back. Starting after next week. and then limit turnovers on offense. Outside of a couple boneheaded mistakes in the first two games, which just Ryan Fitzpatrick chucking it deep because he wanted to throw it to somebody deep. He's never met a pass he's never wanted to just throw away. I'll tell you that. He still gives us a better chance to win right now. I didn't see anything on Sunday that says, oh, we got to take him out, put Geno Smith in immediately. No. No. So what is it going to take for us to beat the Dolphins? We talked about that. Hopefully Chris Ivory could go. We need Chris Ivory in there. He's a game-changing type of back. He can make a difference. He could batter into that defensive line and create some holes that Bilal Powell was missing. Zach Stacy, what the heck is he doing returning kicks? What the hell was that? Did you guys see that on against the Eagles? Why is Zach Stacy, who looks like Mike Tolbert, basically the Kool-Aid man, trying to return punts or return kicks? I don't get it. I don't get it. Good gosh. Why not? If all else fails, just put Curly back there. Just have him wave his hand in the air like you just don't care. I call it doing the Curly on punt returns. Might as well do it on kick returns too. Hopefully Owusu comes back. The notion of putting Devin Smith in on the return game is laughable. He never did it in college. To have him come in off of broken ribs and expect him to all of a sudden become a game-changing kick returner is ludicrous. It was also ludicrous putting him in on special teams to cover Darren Sproles, because that failed pretty miserably last week on the first touchdown that the Jets gave up on a punt return. That didn't look good at all. That whole personnel package was just off, and everyone missed Sproles. But, you know, we talked about it. Sproles, we were worried about last week. Me, Jimmy Boyd, and CJ. Sproles, the Matthews brothers of Ryan and Jordan Matthews, and we didn't know if DeMarco Murray was going to run or not. He ended up not going last week. Ryan Matthews did just fine. Their best rushing game of the season against what's supposed to be one of our greatest strengths, the defense against a run. Not much of that happened. So let's get down to it. I think we'll definitely... Yeah, I'll say it. It's hard to say definitely, but we have a very good chance to beat Miami. They're reeling off of that loss to Buffalo, but we're also reeling from a pretty bad loss to the Eagles at home. I think we're going to take this one. We'll talk a bit more on our regularly scheduled show about the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets in London. I think we're going to be doing... Actually, we might be doing a little bit of a post-game show. Just because of the timing. We'll watch the game. Then we do the show. So right around our normal time slot on Sundays. 12, 1, whenever the game's over. On Blog Talk Radio. I would say if you want to call in. But you're not going to. And let's just be real. You're not going to call us. You're probably not listening now. It's okay. Because we love talking Jets anyway. Even if you don't like listening to us. Let's talk a little bit about some non-football-related stuff as it comes to the Jets. Did you guys see this story about the tight end coach's son who started making knocks about Antonio Cromartie and his 15 billion children on Twitter shortly after the game? He took pictures from within the locker room at a practice or, you know, something like that, and just started talking smack about Antonio Cromartie. They settled that in-house pretty quickly. I'm pretty sure maybe they let Antonio Cromartie have one of his 15 million children slap that kid in the head. He's not actually a kid. He's 24, by the way. So one of the big concerns for me is definitely the offensive line. Without Willie Colon, Brian Winters has not done well. And, you know, this goes back to a move we were talking about last week and prior when we actually released Ode Ibushi, who I think is a better option at right guard than Brian Winters. The Jets decided to let Ibushi play out his one-game suspension and then cut him in exchange for keeping Winters. If you asked me about gameplay and who did better last year and all training camp, it was Ibushi. It wasn't Brian Winters. To me, that was a mistake. The Texans picked him up. He was playing this past Sunday. And I think we're going to suffer the consequences for that mistake. something else going on in Jets news that I wanted to touch on real quick. We did pick up a safety, Deion Bailey from the Seahawks, who was cut shortly after Cam Chancellor was brought back in. You might remember Bailey as a guy who was getting torched by the Rams before he got benched in favor of another safety who also got benched once Cam Chancellor came back. He's supposed to contribute pretty well in special teams. Lord knows we need it right about now. Hopefully he helps there. I don't see him as much more than that. Kind of a body to have there to help on special teams defensively. You know, I just want to quote to close the show. There's a few things I wanted to hit on. One, I think we get caught up in this, in the analysis of each and every play and each and every moment of each and every game and everything that these players, coaches, GMs, the water boy sits there, and everything they say is instantly scrutinized, instantly debated. You know, it's amazing to me the debate that goes on, especially on the Twitter world, about the smallest, most insignificant things when it comes to the Jets. It truly boggles my mind, but I guess, you know, if that didn't happen, I guess we wouldn't have much of a platform for anyone to listen to us. I can't be too upset about it, but it's amazing to me that we get so wrapped up in all these small things that don't matter when it comes game day. Think about all the preseason debates that we've had in the past. Remember when we argued about Matt Sims and how he should start 2 years ago? We were arguing who's better, David Nelson or Greg Salas. And now neither one is even rostered right now. But the things that do matter make up our mind pretty quickly and move on. It's funny to me. I want to say, right before I let you guys go, it's relax with the Jets. I think they're going to win this game against the Dolphins. No, it's not a gimme game. No game in the NFL is a gimme. But we've got as good a chance as anyone to beat the Dolphins. There's no home field advantage for either team. They're both traveling over 7 hours to get there. I think the Jets, I think we've got a better personnel overall. As a team, we have better personnel. And over the past three games, from what I've seen, we have better coaching. Some people might get on Chan Gailey, say, oh, you're being too conservative, or what the heck are you doing? And I agree to a certain extent. Anytime you watch a game, there's going to be a couple plays where you sit there and scratch your head. But all in all, I think Chan Gailey's doing an okay job. You know, they were down two of their three biggest playmakers last week in Decker and Ivory. That's hard to overcome. It really is. With a Quincy Enunwa and a rookie taking his first action, and Devin Smith and Jeremy Curley, who really got his first significant snaps last week, and he caught a couple balls, didn't do anything special, pretty much what you expect out of him. He did have that one Odell Beckham-like catch that was ruled out of bounds, that was challenged, kind of foolishly if you ask me, by Todd Bowles. Our tight ends, we don't have one, do we? I mean, Jeff Cumberland streaking down the sideline is not really the answer to anything, if you ask me. Kellen Davis is worthless. He can't block or catch. He's basically just a sack of flesh and bone that happens to occupy space on a patch of grass every Sunday. The Bears are rumored to be interested in trading a lot of their pieces. Martellus Bennett, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte. I'd give them a call maybe on Bennett, the black unicorn as they call him. But everyone, just keep that in mind as we head into this next game. We've got as good a chance as anyone to win that game, be 3-1 heading into the bye. Tell me you wouldn't have taken that in the preseason. Because then we start hitting a little bit better part of the schedule. Two of the toughest games I thought we were going to have were the Eagles and the Colts. Let's look at this schedule. Let's break it down. I guess I'm not going to let you go now. Ha ha. Let's look at this schedule. Look what we got coming up in the next quadrant. I won't go through the whole thing. Once we finish the Dolphins, we have a bye. Then after that bye, okay, we got the Patriots. We got the Redskins at home. We should win that. We should win that with an extra week to prepare against a team that has Kirk Cousins or RG3. Either one is kind of scary if you're asking me. One of the teams that had a worse situation that I stated in the preseason than the Jets, and that's manifesting itself now in Kirk Cousins and RG3 and the Redskins. Then we do get the Foxborough, so that's going to be tough. Then we get the Raiders and the Jaguars. You know, I mean, yeah, the trip to Oakland could be tough. But we can beat the Raiders. They're good, a young, up-and-coming team, but we can take them. They don't have much of a defense to speak of. They have Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Latavius Murray. Nice three-headed monster there, but we could overcome that. And then the Jags at home, we should take that one. The rest of the schedule isn't as that scary outside of the Patriots games and, of course, the division games. It's really not. We could end the season even better than I thought. I think I had this at 8-8 or 9-7. Heck, we could push 10 wins this year. Let's get through Miami. Let's get through the tough division games. But I think the Jets could have a real shot at pushing for the playoffs right now. And I know it's eating up the media that's happening too, because everyone wants to sit back and lambast on the Jets, because that's just the easy thing to do. Is I have an article about the Jets for the past 4 years. Most of the beat writers just had kind of the same article and draft. You change a name here or there, you change a score here and there, and you send out another hit piece on the New York Jets. And now they've had to change their narrative and actually do some kind of writing. And most of it's fairly positive, even from the Manish Mehtas of the world and the Dick Samenis and so on and so forth. Because there's not much to complain about, and there's a reason for that. There's hope to be, there's reason to be optimistic here. Fitzpatrick is not Aaron Rodgers. Fitzpatrick is not Tom Brady. But Fitzpatrick is also not what we had at quarterback last year either. I don't even know if Geno Smith is anymore either. I guess that's a different discussion for another day that we will definitely have, especially if something goes wrong this Sunday. You know that people are going to be clamoring for Geno. Think about that for a second. Do you remember last year when everyone was clamoring for Vic? Who also looked like garbage, too. And now we're clamoring for Geno? After 3 games that were 2-1? I don't get it. I believe in Geno Smith's talent. I would have liked him to start off the season as a starter. It didn't happen that way. It's too early to reverse course right now. Let's see what we have in game 4. Then we can reevaluate things. If we're 3-1, or even if we're 2-2, but Fitzpatrick played okay, I still don't see a reason why you pull the plug now. It doesn't make much sense. I think you lose the locker room, even if Geno Smith was the guy in training camp. You're winning with this bearded monster in Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, whatever you want to call him. Got to let it play its course. If it gets really bad, then, you know, we're going to have to revisit that. It's going to take a pretty awful game for that to happen. I haven't seen an awful game yet. And I'm hoping we don't have one Sunday. So, Jets fans everywhere, if you're listening here, this is our special edition, kind of a preview, kind of I just want to get things off my chest episode. This is exclusively on our SoundCloud feed. Just me talking here. If you guys have any questions, comments, you want to shoot me some nude photos of your mom or whatever, you can hit us up on the Twitter account, CNC Jets Factor. You can hit me up at CSS Sardinus on Twitter. Send those nude photos of your mom to CJ DeSimondo at JetsFan0532 or 0352 on Twitter. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. And as always, hopefully we have a good game on Sunday. Let's go Jets. No special outro music, no nothing at all, just me talking here. You guys have a good one.